Hello, this is Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, May 7th, 2026. As heard on News Gazette Radio, how a maroon jeep wound up submerged in Champaign Shallow, Kaufman Lake on Wednesday morning. Authorities aren't sure, but Captain Mitch Rolson, member of a Corn Belt fire dive team dispatched to the scene, was relieved to learn that this call didn't end like others have, with a person inside. You always have to go in fearing something like that is going to be the case, but that's what we train for and prepare for. It will be an extra special Mother's Day weekend for a dozen local women who will be honored Saturday at the Douglas Annex at the 10th Backbone of the Black Home class by the Reverend Hub Bennett's Not On Your Watch organization. We need to put the spotlight on the mothers who are doing the right thing, he said. Most of the time, the mothers that are not doing the right thing get the attention. After finals are over, Jeff Chiday is planning a trip to Crisis Nursery, the nonprofit whose work inspired him to make it the topic of his essay in Parkland College's 23rd David M. Jones Persuasive Speech Contest. The judges were impressed, choosing the Centennial grad's story as the winner, earning him a $500 scholarship and Crisis Nursery a $500 donation from the Cobra's communication faculty. There's a photo on the front page of the News Gazette with the headline, Show of Unity. And the caption is, with family members, coaches, teammates, and friends gathered around him, Unity senior Dane Essenminger holds up a framed special front page of the News Gazette on Wednesday evening at the Philo Tavern, announcing him as the News Gazette High School Male Athlete of the Year for the 2025-26 school year. Essenminger, a three-sport standout in football, basketball, and baseball for the Rockets, received the honor during surprise celebration in Philo. Company investing $30 million in Rantoul plant. Consolidation by maker of Cbond Just for Men will create 20 new jobs. A personal care products maker that employs over 100 people locally is relocating its operations from California to Illinois and investing $30 million in its Rantoul plant. Comb Incorporated's project, which has announced by state and local officials Wednesday afternoon, has been awarded a $5 million grant from the state of Illinois. The expansion will create over 20 new full-time jobs. Investing in Rantoul is not about capacity, but about durability, said Keech Combe Shetty, executive chair of the family-owned business that has created brands such as Clearasil, Odor Eaters, Just for Men, and Vagisil. Our roots in Rantoul run deep, and we are incredibly grateful to our dedicated team here, and this commitment ensures that these jobs remain in the community that has supported us for over half a century. The company is based in White Plains, New York, and opened its Rantoul plant in 1974. Recently, officials were looking at an opportunity to consolidate and expand, and considered several sites, village administrator Scott Eisenhower told the village board during its Tuesday night study session. When it was all said and done, they decided to make that investment right here in Rantoul, he said. And so with that, they are going to be not only retaining the 100 jobs that currently exist here, they are going to be consolidating another plant to Rantoul, which will mean job growth. He added that the project marks the largest corporate investment in the company's history. According to Eisenhower, the village is proposing to extend its enterprise zone property tax program, which offers tax abatements from its typical 5 years to 10 years at the company's request. The administration felt that this was a very reasonable request, considering what they're going to put on the table, he said. If approved, the tax abatement incentive would begin with the 2026 tax year and be a 100% abatement for the entire decade, Eisenhower told the News Gazette. No action was taken during its study session, and the item is expected to be on the board's May 12th agenda for a vote. According to the proposed agreement between the village and Combe Laboratories, the project also qualifies for an exemption from the state sales tax for eligible construction materials. Mayor Sam Hall III said Tuesday night that the collaboration between state and local officials and the business has been truly a team effort. Combe has long been a key part of Rentoul's industrial base, and this expansion is a significant milestone in our continued growth, he said. Rentoul has a proud manufacturing history, and this investment shows our progress in creating a strong, business-friendly environment. The new job from the project further boosts our local economy and provide opportunities for residents. Kristen Richards, director of the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, said Combe's choice reinforces the importance of the state's workforce and location. Proactively connecting with Illinois businesses, understanding their needs, and working together to secure their investment in the state is a critical component of the work we do, he said. When faced with options to do business elsewhere, Combe chose Illinois, affirming the strength of Illinois' manufacturing workforce and why Illinois remains a strategic location for manufacturing companies to grow. Combe opened a primary manufacturing facility in Rentoul in 1974, and the site continues to be a critical hub for Combe's global supply chain and a cornerstone of the company's commitment to U.S.-based production, state officials said. Senate salute for Underwood's Illini, and that's a headline for a photograph, and the caption is, "It was Illini basketball day in Springfield, with Coach Brad Underwood and his players getting the star treatment on the Senate floor at the Illinois State Capitol a month after their Final Four run. Here, players are honored by State Senator Paul Faraci, Democrat Champaign, sitting at the center." Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Carrying on a wonderful tradition that started in the late 1990s, WDWS will carry another season of CU Kiwanis Little League Baseball. Joey Wright, Dave Leak, and Jason Liggett will share announcing duties on 1400 AM and 93.9 FM. The games will also be available in podcast form. Wright, who hosts the News Gazette sports page on Monday and Sports Talk on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, said the highlight of each broadcast is the interview with the star of the game. "The kids take it more seriously than some of the high school and Illini players," he said. "They're locked in. You'd think it was the World Series." And then it has the list of the schedule leading up to this Twin City tournament. Teacher of the Week, Nicole Hagel. High School Spanish, Judah Christian, Champaign. From burnout to contentamiento. After suffering from burnout early in her career, Nicole Hagel felt pulled back to education 4 years ago when she began teaching Spanish at Judah Christian High School. Now in her 15th year of teaching, Hagel has rediscovered her passion for the job. She's an incredibly gifted Spanish teacher that also sets a high bar, interim superintendent Blake Porter said. She pushes kids to learn all the way through Spanish 4, and she encourages and organizes service-focused field trips for students to serve in ministries around CU where their Spanish can be of use to the program. "I find my work important because education is foundational to freedom. Bilingual and multilingual education fosters unity and empathy, and Christian education places that entire foundation of freedom and unity in the proper place, in Christ. I became a teacher because it was my calling. I started in the sciences, specifically in genetics, but I knew from my internships that it wasn't my passion. For many teachers, our passion burns out, and we start to question this very thought. I had burned out from the politics and unreasonable expectations put on teachers and was home with my daughters for some time. But God called me to Judah, and I have found joy in teaching again as I serve the Lord through my work. My favorite or most unique lesson that I teach is cooking in Spanish. The students are so engaged. It includes practical skills, and the students make a cooking show in Spanish. The results are great learning and tasty food. My most fulfilling moments on the job are when I hear students use Spanish to worship and serve. And when moments aren't fulfilling, I know that the work I do goes beyond the moment. I keep students engaged by, I plan for students to be active in the learning by incorporating movement, video, songs, and writing, and checking in for understanding. Our school's learning environment fosters close relationships, allowing me to truly know my students and tailor instruction to their individual needs. Something else I'm passionate about is, God also gave me a heart for animals. I love my own cats, chickens, rabbit, and horses, and I also love to read and spend time with my family and friends. My favorite teacher and subject to study in school were, at Clarksville High School, I loved many classes and teachers, but of course my own Spanish teacher, Mr. Schlumblom, was a special place in my memories. The first time I heard fluent Spanish, I was so blown away. He also sponsored the high school drama and led a trip to Mexico that allowed me to have my first experience in a different country. Coming from a small rural Iowa town, it was eye-opening. If I weren't a teacher, I would be working at a cat or horse rescue and using my Spanish abilities to volunteer and serve others. Urbana City Council, Ward 5 Alderwoman steps down to focus on health issues. Applications for those seeking to replace her being taken until June 3rd. For the second time this year, the City of Urbana is looking for someone to fill a City Council vacancy. Alderwoman Chandra Bishop, who represented the Ward 5 in the city's northeast, resigned April 27th, stating that the move would take effect at the end of that evening's council meeting. Bishop shared in a social media post that her resignation comes with deep sadness and it is due to ongoing health issues that require my full attention at this time. Serving in this role has been one of my greatest honors in my life, she said, and I am incredibly grateful for the opportunity to work alongside such dedicated council members and city staff and to serve the residents of Urbana. The relationships we have built and the impact we have made together will remain meaningful to me. Bishop, who has been living with a rare form of cancer called cholangiocarcinoma for the last 10 years, shared in a March 21st Facebook post that she had brain surgery to remove tumors in September and has been unable to work as she focuses on recovery. She has started a GoFundMe to help with medical bills and other expenses. Mayor Deshaun Williams praised Bishop's commitment and dedication during her time on the council. Chandra Bishop has been a dedicated advocate for Ward 5 and a valued member of the Urbana City Council, he said. Her service to our community has reflected a deep commitment to residents, thoughtful leadership, and a genuine care for the future of Urbana. We are grateful for all she has contributed and wish her the very best. Under state law, Williams has up to 60 days from the date of Bishop's resignation to recommend an appointment to the council, city officials said. The council will then have 30 days to vote on the appointment. Bishop's replacement will serve until the next consolidated election in April 2027. Interested individuals can apply online at go.urbanail.gov/apply-ward-5. Or pick up paper applications at the City Clerk's Office or the Urbana Free Library. Completed paper applications can be sent to the City Clerk at urbanail.gov with the subject line City Council Application, or delivered in person to the Clerk's Office at the City Building at 400 South Vine Street. The deadline to apply is 5 p.m. June 3rd. Per state statute, applicants must be eligible to vote in city elections, have resided in Ward 5 for at least 1 year, not owe any delinquent taxes, fees, or fines to the city, not be a convicted felon. Bishop's resignation comes about 2 months after the appointment of Verdell Jones III to fill the Ward 4 seat vacancy by Jaya Colasetti, who moved out of her ward. Two men arrested in Sunday shooting. Two men have been arrested in a Sunday shooting on the city's northwest side. Officers were called about 11 a.m. to the 1200 block of Ellis Drive for a report of a domestic incident involving a firearm. Upon arrival, they contacted the victim, who said her ex-boyfriend discharged a firearm in her direction as she was backing her vehicle out of a driveway. No injuries were reported and no property damage was identified. Police obtained a description of the suspect vehicle, which had fled the scene with another person driving. They located it a short time later in the front of OSF Sacred Heart of Mary at Romine and Park Streets and detained both occupants. The passenger, Wesley L. King, 34, of Champaign, was arrested on charges of aggravated discharge of a firearm, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia, while the driver, Mannix Martin, 32, of Urbana, was arrested on charges of possession of a controlled substance. The incident remains under investigation. Urbana police urge anyone with additional information to contact them at 217-384-2320. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477 or 373tips.com or via the free P3 Tips mobile app. Information submitted to Crime Stoppers is completely anonymous. Calls are routed to a third-party national call center that receives the information, completes a form, then passes a slip to the appropriate law enforcement agency. Caller ID tracking is not used and conversations are not recorded. Crime Stoppers pays cash rewards of $5,000 for tips leading to an arrest in a homicide case, $2,500 for tips leading to an arrest in a felony crime involving a firearm, and up to $1,000 for tips leading to the arrest of those responsible for any other crime. Champaign police, one injured in early morning shooting. A man was left with potentially life-threatening injuries after a shooting early Wednesday in Northwest Champaign. Police and officers were dispatched at 2:36 a.m. to the 1200 block of Redwood Drive for a report of a shooting with injuries. Upon arrival, they learned that a 27-year-old man had been shot multiple times. Officers administered emergency medical aid with help from the Champaign Fire Department until the victim could be taken to a hospital, where he's listed in serious but stable condition. Police say their initial investigation shows the victim was walking in the 1000 block of West Beardsley Avenue when he encountered another person. They got into a fight during which a gun was produced and multiple shots were fired. After being hit multiple times, the victim ran away and was found by officers a few blocks away on Redwood. Police said the person who fired the shots also ran away and has not yet been located. They ask anyone with additional information to please contact them at 217-351-4545. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477 or 373tips.com or via the free P3 Tips mobile app. Information submitted to Crime Stoppers is completely anonymous. Calls are rerouted to a third-party national call center that receives the information, completes a form, then passes the tip to the appropriate law enforcement agency. Caller ID tracking is not used and conversations are not recorded. Crime Stoppers pays cash rewards of $5,000 for tips leading to an arrest in a homicide case, $2,500 for tips leading to an arrest in a felony crime involving a firearm, and up to $1,000 for tips leading to the arrest of those responsible for any other crime. CNN founder and TV pioneer dies at 87. Ted Turner could never be defined by just one role. He was a media mogul, philanthropist, and conservationist, a yachtsman who won boating's most famous race, and owner of a baseball team that captured the World Series trophy. The brash television pioneer who died Wednesday made his greatest mark on the news business when he launched CNN nearly a half century ago, and with it the 24-hour cable news cycle, a revolutionary moment that transformed the industry. His media empire grew to include CNN International, the Cartoon Network, TNT, and Turner Classic Movies. Then he used his riches to become one of America's most extensive landowners, dedicating his final years to preserving natural habitats, saving endangered species, and reducing nuclear weapons. Turner died at age 87 while surrounded by his family, according to Turner Enterprises, which oversees his vast businesses and investments. A cause was not released. He was diagnosed in 2018 with Lewy body dementia, a progressive neurological disorder. A Southerner with outspoken wit, he earned the nicknames Captain Outrageous and the Mouth of the South during his youthful years. "If only I had a little humility, I'd be perfect," he once bragged. Turner was a celebrity in his own right when he married actor Jane Fonda in 1991, just before being named Time magazine's Man of the Year. "He swept into my life, a gloriously handsome, deeply romantic, swashbuckling pirate, and I've never been the same," Fonda wrote Wednesday on Instagram. Slowed late in life by his illness and long out of the television business, Turner concentrated on philanthropy, donating a stunning $1 million to United Nations charities, and his more than 2 million acres of property, including the nation's largest bison herd. His garrulous personality sometimes overshadowed a driven, risk-taking business acumen. By the time he sold his Turner Broadcasting System to the Time Warner Incorporated in a 1996 media mega deal, Turner had turned his late father's billboard company into a global conglomerate that included 7 major cable networks, 3 professional sports teams, and a pair of hip movie studios. Cruise ship heads to Canary Islands after 3 evacuated. 2 patients with Hunt virus and 1 suspected of infection were evacuated Wednesday from a cruise ship at the center of a deadly outbreak, the UN Health Agency said. The ship then departed Cape Verde with nearly 150 people on board, isolated in their cabins, and headed to Spain's Canary Islands. Associated Press footage showed health workers in protective gear evacuating 3 patients. 2 arrived at Amsterdam's airport Wednesday evening and were taken to separate hospitals. 3 people have died and 1 body remains on the ship, the World Health Organization said. Of 8 recorded cases, 5 were confirmed by laboratory testing. Hantavirus usually spreads by inhaling contaminated rodent droppies and can spread person to person, though that is rare, according to the WHO, whose top epidemic expert said the risk to the public is low. Health officials in Europe and Africa are trying to identify people who may have had contact with people who earlier left the ship, which departed April 1st from South America for stops in Antarctica and several remote Atlantic islands. 2 Argentine officials investigating the origins of the outbreak said the government's leading hypothesis is that a Dutch couple contracted the viruses while bird watching in the city of Ursula before boarding. They said the couple visited a landfill during the tour and may have been exposed to rodents. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to brief the media with the investigation ongoing. Officials, though still on board, show no symptoms. The Dutch Foreign Ministry said the 3 people evacuated Wednesday were a 41-year-old Dutch national, a 56-year-old British national, and a 65-year-old German national. WHO said testing in Senegal confirmed that 2 of the evacuees were infected with hantavirus. 2 of the evacuees were in serious condition, Dutch ship operator Oceanwide Expedition said, and the 3rd had no symptoms but was closely associated with a German passenger who died on the MV Honduras ship on Saturday. Upon arriving in Amsterdam, 1 of the evacuated patients was taken to a specialized hospital in Dusseldorf, Germany. The other was taken to a hospital in Leiden, the Netherlands. Health officials said passengers and crew members still on the ship were without symptoms. Their journey to the Canary Islands will take 3 or 4 days, Spain's health ministry said. Their arrival won't represent any risk for the public, the ministry said. Still, the Canary Islands regional president, Fernando Clavijo, said he worried about the risk to the public and demanded a meeting with Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. WHO expert, not the next COVID. Authorities said passengers tested positive for the Andes virus, a species of hantavirus found in South America, primarily in Argentina and Chile. The virus can spread between people, though that's rare, and only through close contact, according to the WHO. The health agency has never seen a hantavirus outbreak on a ship. This is not the next COVID, but it is a serious infectious disease. The WHO's top epidemiology expert, Maria von Kerkhoven, said, most people will never be exposed to this. Two Dutch infectious disease experts were joining the ship, von Kerkhoven said. Access to clinical care is important, she said, because infected people can develop severe acute respiratory distress and need oxygen or mechanical ventilation. There is no specific treatment or cure, but early medical attention can increase the chance of survival. The hantavirus incubation period can be 1 to 6 weeks or more, she said. The ship's itinerary included stops across the South Atlantic, including mainland Antarctica and the remote islands of South Georgia, Nightingale Island, Tristan da Cunha, St. Helena, and Ascension. Oklahoma Lake shooting. 18-year-old arrested and attacked, left one dead and 22 injured. An 18-year-old was arrested Wednesday in connection with a week-long shooting that left one woman dead and 22 other people wounded during a nighttime party beside an Oklahoma lake, police said. Jalen A. Davis was arrested on a charge of assault with a deadly weapon in the wake of Sunday's shooting, which erupted after an apparent argument broke out amid a crowd gathered at Arcadia Lake in the North Oklahoma City suburb of Edmond, its police chief said. Edmond Police Chief J.D. Younger announced the arrest at a news conference and said the initial charge against Davis was in the process of being upgraded to felony murder following the death of one of the victims, 18-year-old Aviana Smith Gray. Davis was being held in the Edmond jail on a $1 million bond. He was listed in jail records as an Oklahoma City resident. There was no lawyer listed for Davis in court documents amid the Oklahoma County Public Defender's Office, said Davis would not be assigned an attorney until the upgraded charges had been filed. U.S. military strike on alleged drug boat kills three. The U.S. military launched another strike Tuesday on a vessel suspected of transporting drugs in the eastern Pacific Ocean, killing three men. The attack came a day after U.S. forces struck an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean Sea, killing two. The Trump administration's campaign of blowing up alleged drug trafficking vessels in Latin America waters has persisted since early September and killed at least 191 people in total. Despite the Iran war, the strikes have ramped up again in recent weeks, showing that the administration's aggressive measures to stop what is called narco-terrorism in the Western Hemisphere are not letting up. The military has not provided evidence that any of the vessels were carrying drugs. Illinois State University strike. Staff return to work after ratifying five-year contract. Illinois State University non-teaching staff returned to work Wednesday after ratifying a new contract to end a month-long strike. AFSCME Local 1110, the union representing more than 300 building services, grounds, dining services, and other ISU employees, said there were more than 95% of its members approved the five-year contract. The new contract gives workers an immediate lump sum payment of $1,500 and an immediate 3.5% wage increase, plus annual raises of 3% every July 1st through 2029 until the contract expires on June 30th, 2030. The union had sought retroactive pay increases to July 1st last year and annual raises equal to the university administrators. In the end, the lump sum ratification payment in this agreement is greater than the value of a retroactive pay increase for the average member of Local 1110, and even more valuable for lower paid workers, the union said in a statement. The union had sued the university and accused it of violating state law for hiring strikebreakers at higher wages than the striking employees. The union agreed to drop the suit and unfair labor practice charges, according to its statement. The terms of this agreement were available to ISU management on February 10th, when union members voted down the university's takeaway demands, and on April 7th, when we met with the mediator before our strike deadline, said Roberta Lynch, executive director of AFSCME Council 31. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, May 7th, 2026. Please stay tuned for Part 2.